Good morning. Good to see all of you here. If you will, I want to ask you to join me this morning. Take your Bibles. Turn with me to Matthew. We're going to be in Matthew again this morning. Matthew chapter 10. Last week, if you remember, we were in chapter 4. But this morning, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 10. And there's a great story behind what God is doing here. And obviously, it's that God is always working things out. If you remember last week, we talked about a section of Scripture that discussed Jesus 40 days in the wilderness. He had been baptized. He comes up from the water. And you remember I talked with you about God driving God into the wilderness. God was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. God the Son, was led by God the Spirit into the wilderness so that he could experience a 40 days of temptation that would really be something that would inaugurate him, that would be something that would give him an example of what his ministry was going to be about for the next 3 years. And it was about one temptation after another, yet him being God, he was able to stand against the wiles of the devil. This morning, I want to talk with you about that temptation for you and for me, and five things that you and I can do in order to be able to get out of the wilderness and stand against temptation. One of the most difficult things that you and I will ever find ourselves doing is facing, standing toe-to-toe to temptation and turning and walking away. It's so difficult to do. I'll give you an example. I remember I was about a 12 or 13-year-old young man, maybe 14, and my family went to an all-you-can-eat buffet. You know I like buffets, right? Even as a 12, 13, maybe 14-year-old young man, I like buffets. And so we went, and the whole family was there. Can't remember the occasion. All I know is the buffet looked good. And as we were there, we had finished eating everything that we wanted, and it was dessert time. I'm thinking, man, I'm ready for some dessert. Oh, yum, yum. You know, not only do I enjoy a good buffet, but even more so, I enjoy a good dessert. So on the buffet, there were lots of different desserts to choose from, and there was one thing that captured my attention more than anything else. I was so excited about this. I'm thinking, okay, do I get a big bowl? Do I get a little bowl? Do I just nibble maybe a little bit? Do I put it in a cone so that I can just, oh, it was going to be so good. I was ready for it. And so I go to the dessert bar, and in the middle of this dessert bar, the middle of this food bar, there was this thing, and it was drawing me in. You know, I was enticed. It really captured my attention to the point that, like Jesus, I felt like I was floating, man. I felt like I was just didn't have any control at all. I made my way to that dessert bar. Filled me a bowl full. I'm telling you, it was the tempter. Took me a big old bite of that, and it was butter. All along in my mind, I'm thinking, this is going to be good. It looks so just, it was just eye-catching. It was beautiful, and I was drawn to it. I was tempted in a terrible way, but it ended up not turning out real good. Some of you might like to eat butter. I didn't enjoy it a whole lot. I know some of you cook your eggs with it. Caitlin cooks her eggs with butter. I know she really wanted me to tell that. And we do a lot of other things, but it's not something you just want to take a big spoonful and eat. It didn't melt in my mouth. It didn't run all down the side of my face. None of those things happened. I spit it out as quickly as I put it in. So this morning, I want to try and give you some tools, some things that you can do, some things that you can plan, some things that you can prepare yourself for in order that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Because you got to understand the tempter is going to come. It's not a matter of maybe he won't or is he going to? Understand this. As a child of God, the tempter is going to make his way to you at some time or another. He's going to show up. Now, do you have the tools? Do you have the stamina? Do you have the ability to stand firm in the face of temptation? And with the line drawn in the sand, do you have the ability to turn and walk the other way? If we'd be honest, most of us would be able to raise our hand and say, you know, I'm a little weak in that area. I'm a little weak when it comes to that temptation, that thing, or these number of things that really, really, really draw me in, that really entice me. And so I want to share five things this morning, five tips, I believe, that can help you get out of the wilderness. Jesus was in the wilderness. The Israelites for 40 years, a 2.5-week journey, and they stayed in the wilderness for 40 years. And we've got to get out of the wilderness, guys. Spiritually, you and I, we can't stay there. We have to get out of the wilderness because we've got to begin to live our lives for the glory of God so that through our lives, the lost, the unchurched, those far from God might see Jesus in us in such a way that they are drawn to Jesus. And so with that, I want to ask that you would honor God by standing at the reading of His Word. Matthew chapter 10. I'm sorry, I told you Matthew. Guys, we're nowhere in Matthew. Why did you let me tell you that this morning? 1 Corinthians. That's not even in one of the Gospels, is it? Preacher, do you know where you're preaching this morning? I do. Look, I've studied it. I've marked it. I guess I was excited about Matthew last week. So anyway, we're not in Matthew. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 13. Listen to what the Scripture says. This is just after Jesus was giving the example, or Paul was giving the example about running the race that is set before you, about knowing that as a Christian, you and I, we all enter into this race, and we've got to run diligently, we've got to pace ourselves, we've got to be prepared in order to receive the crown that is laid before us. And then it says this at the end of it, listen to what verse 27 says in chapter 9. But I discipline my body, and I bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. So Paul wanted nothing more than to honor God with his life. And so now it goes on in chapter 10 and following, chapter 10 verses 1 through 13. Listen to the Scripture. Moreover, brethren, I don't want you to be unaware that our fathers were under the cloud. In Exodus, God put a cloud over them by day so that they could walk and not be scorched by the sun. All right, so just listen to the Scripture. And all passed through the sea, the Red Sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Ate the same spiritual food. You remember during this wandering session in the wilderness that God provided manna from heaven. That's this spiritual food that is being spoken of. It was also in Scripture, in Exodus, it was also a test for them to whether they were going to be obedient to the word that God had told them, that they were going to be obedient to the law that was being poured out to them. All right, so it says they ate the same spiritual food, all drank the same spiritual drink, and that has to do with the source of water that Moses, you remember that one time when he struck that rock and water poured out of it. So I'm just trying to give you some, when I read this, you know what the Scripture is talking about. All right, so it says, for they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. All right, so let's move on now, verse 5 and following. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. All right, so now, what was it that did not please God about how they lived? All right, verse 6 and following was going to kind of share a little bit of that. Now, these things became our example to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted and became idolaters. As were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down, they ate, they drank, they rose up to play. Verse 8, nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. 23,000 died there in the wilderness one day. Verse 9, nor let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by the serpent. During this time, the serpents entered into the camp where they were all camping where they were staying, and they were bitten by these serpents. And the only way that they could be saved is they had to repent. And so they cried out to Moses at this point. God told Moses to take a serpent, to put it on this pole, and raise the serpent up so that they could look at the serpent, and those who looked at the serpent were healed from this snake bite. Again, just trying to give you a historical background about some of these things that are going on there. Some of them also tempted and were destroyed by the serpent. And then verse 10, nor complain as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now we get to the part that we're really going to focus on this morning, verses 11 through 13. Now all of these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, for our education, for us to be able to see these examples and then change our lifestyle so that we don't fall under the same condemnation they fell under. Upon whom the ends of the age have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. That has everything to do with pride. Great verse right here. Listen to this. No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you